Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
All right, Robert. Well, a lot to break down. A newsworthy Monday Night Raw, I'd say. The main event segment, we now know it will be Becky Lynch versus Lita at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event in Saudi Arabia coming up in 3 weeks. A lot to break down on the show holistically, but a lot in that last main event segment. But since you're the resident Torch MMA guy, let's talk first about Ronda Rousey. What did you think of her out there tonight, and what did you make of the crowd reaction to her, if anything?
It was hard to gain a lot from this, to be honest with you. The crowds, as I spoke about earlier on my show, it's been weird to hear them lately. The sound of them has just been off. It's never usually matching what's going on. So you take a little bit of a grain of salt with that. With that said, there does seem to be a bit of an embrace of Ronda by the crowd. And I really can't tell which exact direction they're going with her. Was this full heel? Is this kind of heel? Is she going to be like when Roman Reigns was angry at the fans, but still a baby face kind of face? I'm not really sure what direction they are going with her. And the promo and all that was just weird. Ronda has a certain style and cadence to her where, as I said earlier, it can be of extreme emotions, either extreme happy, extreme sadness, extreme anger. There's no gray area, not a lot of nuance when Ronda speaks. And I wasn't sure what was going on here. Very monotone. Not a fan of what we have with Ronda in this little segment.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I thought it was kind of, just kind of going through the motions a little bit. Like, on one hand, you know, in her first run, especially at the beginning of it, not so much towards the end, but in the first run, she just, you know, she came out there looking like, you know, starstruck that, okay, I get to play, you know, be in, you know, Camp WWE for a little bit. And that bothered me. And here, you know, she scrapped that away. Like, it didn't seem like the emotions of being in front of a big audience like that were getting to her anymore, even though the reaction was pretty positive. But I don't know, man. It just seemed like she was kind of, like I said, going through the motions, not like pretty uninspiring from a promo standpoint. It's like she had her lines, she said them, dropped the mic, and that was it. And I walked away from that, at least here, you know, whatever this is, nine minutes after it happened or so, that just like, I'm not sure how it's going to go, if that's going to be par for the course for her moving forward, because, you know, I think audiences are going to be willing to give, you know, to look at her as a big star. And there's no doubt that's what she is. But, you know, tonight you had Becky Lynch out there working heel. And I mean, she was insulting the audience. And so that's kind of an obvious indicator of where they're framing Becky Lynch opposite Ronda Rousey, but Rousey didn't bring it in terms of being somebody likable. And I think that's going to be a big problem. Even if she goes up against Charlotte, I think she might be having the same issues where the fans just side with the wrestlers that they know. And unless Ronda turns it up, like, I think she's going to have some problems.
Oh, I agree 100%. And that's part of the key there. They need to establish a definition for her, like a clear definition of where she is going with this. If she's going to do this as a babyface in this iteration of what she's doing, it's not going to work. Nobody cares about Ronda, the baddest woman on the planet, in that way. She doesn't have that anymore. She hasn't had that in, you know, 5 years at this point. And I think in the pro wrestling context, she doesn't have it either. So they're going to have to really pick a lane and clearly define it. And it's awkward enough with Becky as the heel anyway, especially opposite Ronda, although I think the Cincinnati crowd wasn't that into Becky, so you've got that going for you. But again, and her other opponent is also a heel. Remember, in the last run, Ronda accidentally turned Charlotte heel for like a couple of months. That did happen, and it was I think unintentional. I think she was supposed to be the heel there. It was different because Charlotte turned Becky face, that she was supposed to be heel, and the whole thing was discombobulated, which just kind of seems kind of discombobulated too. They definitely need to pick a lane, but in general, and we talked about this on my show with Rick, as I keep referencing, I've got this vibe from Ronda now two nights in a row where there's just not a lot of, this is some Kevin Nash collected a check vibes that I'm getting here from Ronda.
Oh man. Just kept Nash not here to defend himself, throwing him right under the bus on that one, Robert. I like it. But you hit on something that I have in my notes here that I wanted to make sure we talk about, and that is Becky Lynch. Because, look, well, let me ask you this first. I mean, I know the reports came out over the weekend, you know, that the plan, I guess, tentatively, is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte at WrestleMania. Did tonight's segment kind of give you a different way to think about that? I mean, do you think that that's changed, or, and this was just a tease to set up something further down the road? Like where do you see, or do you see that match happening this year at WrestleMania, kind of based on what we saw tonight, or just your inclination in general?
Well, I've kind of been all over the place with it, to be honest with you. Like going in after the Rumble, I wasn't even thinking about the big picture. I was like, all right, now they can finally do one-on-one Ronda and Becky. Now, after, I am a VIP subscriber, so I listened to the post show, and you guys brought in the logic of bringing in, you know, Bianca for Becky, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's also very important and very unresolved. Mm-hmm. But I still think the Becky and Ronda thing is unresolved, even though it ended in a win. People forgot how clunky that was and how kind of unsatisfying that was, and the fact that it wasn't a one-on-one match was. It really depends to me how long we've got her around. I think from a logical standpoint, say you got her through SummerSlam, and you want to put that match on over there to be your big match, Becky and Ronda, I think that is okay. My inclination would be to hit it while it's there. I know that would kind of put Bianca to the side again, which has happened too many times, and you don't want to keep on doing that. I got no inclination one way or the other, and it's not like the crowd lit up just to see them sharing the ring tonight. It's not like there was some kind of synergy. And let's see what happens opposite Charlotte. I think it's going to be much more difficult with Charlotte, though, because at least I think Becky, because she has such an adoration for the audience, even when she's playing, you know, even if she's in the heel character, I think they could make it work for a one-off where she was just kind of the face in that situation. Or, you know, you can do the Cena Roman thing whenever necessary. I don't think you can do that with Charlotte. So if they are going with Charlotte, which I think is probably the direction that they're going, I think they need to be quite a bit more strategic. And I will say that the lines in the promo would kind of indicate that she was more interested in the Charlotte match as far as the Ronda character goes. The Becky thing, you know, there was definitely trying to put some separation there. And then they transitioned away from Becky and Ronda pretty quickly, which may mean, again, that then they're going to go to it the month after, or means that needs to be on the back burner for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I didn't get any, like, you know, big kind of feelings right out of this saying, like, okay, yeah, they're definitely going with Lynch and Rousey at WrestleMania, or Charlotte versus Rousey for that matter, you know, outside of the reports that came in over the weekend. But to that end, I'm a little surprised that they went so far as to have Becky kind of essentially just call out Rousey to pick her, because if, you know, generally speaking, I think more people want to see Becky versus Rousey one-on-one than Charlotte versus Ronda one-on-one. I mean, we've gotten that match already for one thing. And I think, like you said, there's unfinished business with Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. So to tease that and then, you know, not pay it off from like just like a real world standpoint, I think is a little bit curious. But also from just like a character perspective, like you kind of have Lynch out there calling out Ronda Rousey, and if she goes a different direction and just goes, nah, I'm not gonna face you, Becky Lynch, it's kind of, I don't know, I think that kind of is counterproductive for her, the character that she's playing too. Like, I think, you know, badass Ronda Rousey would have said, you know, hey, okay, let's throw down right here, you know, you're gonna challenge me, really? But instead we didn't kind of get that, and so I sensed a little bit of a weakness there to go along with her uninspired performance as well.
Yeah, it might be a hedge too, to be honest with you. It might be, you know, they have a good idea, but I mean, you know, Vince changes his mind, you know, all the time, and we could, you know, we could see where this goes. I don't know. We could end up being on a triple threat of hell. You know, that could happen.
Oh, don't put that out into the universe yet.
The biggest rematch in WrestleMania history.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, a lot to break down moving forward here. We'll throw it over to the callers here in a minute, but I definitely want to hit more talk on Becky versus Lita, because that's a pretty, you know, that's a big time match too. And then of course we'll need to get to the Brock Lesnar stuff as well as a bunch of other things. But we'll pause there for a quick second. We'll set the table and then start taking some calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the January 31st, 2022 edition of Monday Night Raw. I'm PW Torch, assistant editor Zach Haydorn, filling in for Wade. He's on the VIP side of things a little bit later on, giving a full rundown of the show on the Wade Keller hotline. Go VIP at pwtorch.com/govip. You can check out that show, as well as a multitude of other really, really great VIP podcasts. You know, ad-free access to the website, and loads and loads more. So check that out if you're interested, pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice with me tonight is Robert Vallejos of MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans on the PW Torch Daily Cast. Robert, awesome to talk with you, man. Good to have you back in the co-host seat. It's been a bit.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I didn't think I'd get to do much now in the spring-winter time, and I'm just happy that the schedule worked out. And I kind of have my area of expertise with the two top stars being former MMA champs on this show, so that kind of worked out for me.
Yeah, it's perfect. And no Fiend talk this time either. The last, like, three or four times we've hosted, there's been big, like, Fiend angles, and I, you know, we don't have any of those.
I blame that on you, because when I'm on with Wade, they don't happen. But, you know, when they were doing the Lily stuff tonight, I was like, oh, Zach, you did it again. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's a promo for WWE Shop. So,
yeah, oh, my God. That was just, oh, I rolled my eyes at that one on WWEShop.com. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Okay. Anyway. All right. Let's open up the phone lines. 347-215-8558 is the number. 347-215-8558. Make sure to press 1 to raise your hand and let me know you want to get on the air. If you want to participate in the show but you don't want to talk, you can email us, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. We got a handful of good emails in there already, so we'll make sure to get to those a little bit later. But with that said, Robert, we'll go ahead here and kick things off with the first call of the night. We will start with 443. 443, you're up. Thanks for calling. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Good, Kyle. Great to hear from you, man. What did you think of the show tonight?
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to mix the Rumble and tonight's show all in one, so bear with me with this here. But with the Rumble itself, so with, I know I'm going all over the place, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because now when, okay, so I didn't expect Ronda at all. I mean, it's been speculated for the last few days. I was like, oh, God, it's, you know, I don't believe anything until I physically see it, because it's like, it's all rumors at this point. So when I saw it, I was like, oh no. So then the other thing too is that when Sasha got eliminated very quickly, part of me, I know it's a SmackDown thing, but I just was thinking about this, that like, why did you even bring her back on Friday, getting my hopes up, thinking that she was going to be part of the final few women with Bianca and Shayna and Charlotte and Ronda? Like, that Sasha shouldn't have been a part of that as well. So I think that whole thing was so bizarre and stupid. And having Ronda win is like, whatever. And then it's just, and then with her being a heel and Becky as a heel and Charlotte as a heel, it's like, this is so just unnecessary. And Becky's as a, I don't view Becky as a heel either, by the way, because I'll never boo that woman at all. So I think her doing this whole, just the entire thing with the whole women's situation right now heading to WrestleMania is so clunky, I feel like. And it's like, I don't know where to go with this, because they just feel like they kind of messed it up already without even trying, you know, or something. What do you think about that entire situation leading up to Ronda, like, when?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, you're not wrong in that analysis, but the thing that I would point out is that, you know, and Robert, definitely I'll throw to you on this in a minute, but I mean, I think they're trying to frame Ronda as a babyface, I think. I mean, I think that's the presentation. I mean, she got the big pop at the Rumble. The fans, you know, cheered for her tonight when she made her entrance, and I don't know, kind of flattened out after that. But then you just look at who she's working with on one side or the other. I mean, and Charlotte is a firmly established heel, and Kyle, whether you are going to boo her or not, like, the framing of Becky Lynch is as a heel. I mean, she said as much. On the Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin, she's basically calling herself a heel now. So, I mean, like, that's how she's framing herself. And so when you look at it that way, Robert, I mean, Rousey is, I think, slotted into that babyface role, but it kind of, that point circles back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is, like, she has to have something more inspiring and likable about her to pull that off. And right now, if tonight was any indication, and last night, Robert, I just don't think she has that, which then, yeah, I think makes her come across as unlikable and heelish, when really, to me, I think the story at this point is her in that, you know, protagonist position.
That's where they're positioning her, definitely. And that's what I always say when they say, oh, how can you tell who's a face and a heel? I'm like, well, who are they going against? That's usually the dead giveaway. That, I mean, with the SmackDown men's main event kind of aside, because that was a more of a legitimate Shades of Grey than I think what they're doing here, where people are kind of miscast or confusingly cast. Yeah, she is opposite of heels, and there hasn't been any indication that she's necessarily feuding with a babyface. But I think when we see what, like, her interaction with the babyface is going to kind of be interesting if we get to that point. That might be a little bit of a bigger tell. And I think if I could pull the curtains back on what they're trying to do, I think they're trying to do what they do with, like, Brock in some of these scenarios, where Brock is kind of ill-defined. And so the theory is heel or face, not necessarily important, just big star, and whatever happens. With that said, they do generally fit into certain parameters. And I guess I would put her in the face mode now. It's just not a very convincing face, because, like, you know, say what you want, like, I'm with you, Kyle. I can't boo Becky Lynch, like, in good faith. It doesn't work for me. She's the coolest person on the show. It doesn't work for me to boo her. With that said, they clearly are going all in with her, as, you know, it's pretty heavy handed that she's a heel. They're not necessarily heavy handed right now that Ronda's a babyface.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good comparison, like Ronda to Brock. It's just, you know, Brock Lesnar just has a different kind of charisma than Ronda Rousey does. And so I think it worked for Brock, but man, I mean, with Ronda, yeah, it's just tough. It's tough because she really out there tonight looked kind of like she didn't really want to be there. And if you're supposed to be the baby face, I mean, you need to be the person that's, you know, picking the crowd up, you know, and she really didn't, she really didn't do that tonight. So, yeah.
Well, she's detached from her aura, too. I'm going to throw that in real quick. I think that's a big thing, that why it's everything seems so half-hearted, is, like, she's not – she was still – even though she had come off of two losses in 2018 when she had debuted, she was still the baddest woman on the planet. Like, she still kind of had that reputation. She doesn't quite have that anymore, so it's hard to build on that edge. Whereas, like, Brock, even though Brock, lesser, I think, accomplished MMA fighter than – what Ronda was, Brock just walking has that aura. Like, if you saw Brock right now just sitting next to me, he would have that aura. And so they're going to have to build that up. And I think that's a big part of the sort of passion side not being there. Unless she's just, like, you know, no disrespect, but unless she's just purely gnashing it, then, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to further go down that path, over the weekend after the win, you know, she cut a backstage interview or promo, whatever you want to call it, and she basically was like, yeah, I'm back, but, you know, I don't need this anymore either. Like, you know, I'm gonna go and hang out with my baby now, and, you know, I don't need this. And so, and I was listening to that going, like, all right, like, that's the wrong, I mean, I don't know if that was scripted or if it was just her, but it's like, that's the wrong attitude you want to portray. I mean, really, as a heel or a babyface, I think, but especially as a babyface. I mean, I think, you know, there's money in Ronda Rousey, for sure, but I don't think it's that Ronda Rousey. I think to really, like, make her impactful to the fullest, it's like she had to come back and say, yeah, I'm winning the Royal Rumble because I'm getting that belt back, you know, and proving that I'm the best, and, like, kind of getting that, you know, mission statement out there for herself. And And it hasn't, it's just so much of her presence, I think, has been like kind of assumed. And you're right, Robert, like that aura, you got to create that again. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they think that's a priority, but I really, really think it is. Robert, back to you before I throw back to Kyle.
Yeah, I think that's just the whole key of why. Like, if she still had that same aura and this was kind of who her character was, it would kind of be like, ooh, you know, there'd be something to it. She doesn't have it. Also, the other thing is everything she's done from a physicality standpoint has looked really bad. It looked bad before, yeah. But in a good way. Like, she looked dangerous before, which I think was kind of added to the aura. Like, you know, she's out there with her hip tosses that she was doing. Even tonight, the thing she did with Becky, it's like, you know, when Becky had to, like, stand there apparently to be put in the wrist lock or whatever they were doing, it just did. That part didn't come across well. So there's a lot of pieces to this. And, you know, again, before, she got to start out at, like, this rookie, and what is she going to be? And it was awkward leading up, and then you had the match at WrestleMania, the tag match. It was like, okay, you know, she can do this. She's going to be good. We're still in awkward times here.
Yeah. 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 Tonight was, I don't know. I thought tonight, like, that, the arm drag thing that she did was sloppy too. And really, you know, Becky set that up, like, with the handshake, and then Ronda kind of grabbed it and threw her over. Yeah. Sloppy at best, I think. It did not look convincing. She didn't look convincing. And man, yeah, she's going to need to watch that back and fix that, because she's got to carry a lot. Main event of WrestleMania, you know, 100,000 people. I mean, that's, you know, that's a big deal. Kyle, back to you. Any comments on our comments, or a different topic altogether?
I think from that, because I think back from when Becky returned, she just had that one move on Bianca, and that was it. And then she had all those ladder events. So with Ronda, she just decided to do a move now, and it didn't look good. So that's, I think maybe that's the whole, there's a different situation, I guess, maybe. I don't know. It was weird. And so I guess what I need to say even more from this is just that with Bianca Belair, you know, I feel, you know, I kind of feel bad for Bianca and Sasha both, because I don't know what's going to happen. I said either whoever Ronda faces at WrestleMania, whether that's going to be, if it is going to be Becky, then I feel bad for Bianca. If it's Charlotte, I feel bad for Sasha. And honestly, so kind of selfishly at this point, I just think the two money matches for WrestleMania as of right now is Becky and Ronda, and Sasha and Charlotte, because I just think, I don't see how, where does Bianca fit into that as of right now. I mean, of course, stuff can change heading into the couple of weeks and months, but I'm not, just as of right now, that's just what I'm seeing here. Like, where does Bianca Belair fit? She fits kind of nowhere at this point. And so when you think about that situation, where does Bianca Belair will fit into this entire situation? Because it's like, once Ronda came back, she just kind of paused everything of Bianca's momentum without even doing anything to her. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, good topic. I mean, I'd say I'm pretty firmly in the camp that they're going to go with Ronda versus Charlotte. And so Bianca's going to be, or Becky's going to be free for Bianca Belair. And I made this point on the post show on Saturday, which is just, I think that's the right way to go. Like, or not necessarily the right or wrong way, but an effective way to go. I mean, look, Bianca Belair was in the main event of WrestleMania last year, won the title, great match, cooled off a little bit. And, you know, she cooled off kind of mainly because of this Becky Lynch return and the way that was done. And so, I mean, they've got a natural story there. You know, Becky's dodged it a couple times when she's asked, you know, for matches. And so, I mean, they've planted the seeds since SummerSlam for this match to happen on a big stage. And so to me, that's still very much in the cards, Robert. I mean, you know, say what, Bianca's cooled off, but she's still, you know, very much been protected. I just think they're waiting to kind of pull the trigger on this thing. Because, you know, we are 60 some odd days out for WrestleMania at this point. So you've got to let it simmer for a bit. But I think come WrestleMania time, Bianca's going to be in the mix for a championship match. I kind of, you know, if it's going to be Ronda versus Charlotte, I'm sure that's going to main event one night. So you probably see the Bianca Becky match on the same card as Lesnar and Reigns. But hey, that's still a really big match. And I, I don't know about you, Robert, but I still think Bianca's going to be in a big time match at WrestleMania.
I do as well. I say that if that's the match, if anything else happens, I don't know where she fits into that hierarchy that we're talking about. Yep. So if it's the match with Becky, that is, it might not be promoted as such, because it would be promoted probably as the third from the time, and then who knows what, you know, the celebrity involvements and everything else that comes in. There's two big wins out there right now in the company. There's the person that's going to take the belt off of Roman and the person that's going to take the belt off of Becky. There's two huge wins to give away, and I think you're going to get one of them on WrestleMania night, most likely, even though, again, what you say makes more logical booking sense. I still think the bigger match, again, is the Becky Ronda one, but putting that to the side, I definitely think that's where she's going to be, which is, I know she main evented last year, but I think this would be a bigger spot for her. That's a bit, you know, everyone's beat Sasha. I mean, it was more historic because it was more pop and circumstance to it last year, and, you know, being the WrestleMania back from the pandemic and all of that. But ultimately, I do think that this is as high of a profile as she can be, and it makes sense because of how it was derailed and because of how it was handled, and it's be a rare bit of long-term storytelling. So ultimately, if I had to vote right now, that's where I would say it would go.
Yep. Kyle, anything else for us tonight, man?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I just, you know how things are logic, but then they decide, say, nope, we're not going to do it. Forget what people say. We're going to doing this instead. That's what I'm kind of fearing. So we'll see if I'm wrong with that, but we'll see. I think too with, and last thing I'll say is with, so Brock Lesnar going face to face with Bobby Lashley and stuff like that, and him being in the chamber itself, that's interesting. So even announcing he's going to face Roman at WrestleMania, I was watching like, what? I'm very, very confused about that. What do you think about that? Why be in the chamber if you're going to face Reigns at WrestleMania? It's already beneficial. So what was the point of that? Because I was kind of confused with that.
Well, yeah, the point was, I think, was screwed out of the title, and you had Bobby Lashley walk down to the ring to start the show, gloating that, hey, he won the championship, and then I think this is Brock's answer back, saying, hey, you really didn't beat me, and so now, you know, I want that title back, because as he said, you know, I want this title match with Reigns to be championship versus championship. So that's the storyline that they laid out tonight, Robert. What do you think of that? I think it puts a little bit more a juice on the match, obviously having Brock Lesnar in it. I still don't get the sense that they're going to do a unification match like that or a title versus title match. So I think somehow, some way, at least at this point here, a few hours after the announcement, like Brock's going to have to get pinned again in that match. What's your take?
I disagree with you. I think they might be going for a unification bout.
Okay.
I think that's
all right.
That's a distinct possibility. That's what I kind of, I was like, so it's two things. It's like, one, how are you, I'm sure they'll find a way too, but like, how are you going to pin Brock in that type of match? Unless you are just super pushing Bobby, which in that case, then what's the point of Brock facing Roman at WrestleMania? So I kind of think they want Roman on both shows. That's just my feeling. And so they need to unify it. Obviously they'll split it again because they do that every time they unify. They never keep it very, very long. That just doesn't happen. Now it is weird though, because there's never like a Brock Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber. It's always like the champ and then, all the spare parts that are kind of around them. Whether it's an elimination chamber where it's all the young guys, you know, going for a shot, or, you know, everyone that's recently held a title. Brock's in it because it's the Saudi Arabia show, so you have to kind of overload what you would normally do. You have to sort of push it to 11 when it might normally be at an 8. I think he's walking out of there with that title. I think the unification is going to happen.
Man, so, I mean... Gosh, that would be interesting. And you make a good case because I think it's like you said, you might want Roman on both shows, so that matters. But also, it's like in an elimination chamber, there's no real escape hatch that you can pull to like get to get Lesnar out of that match. I mean, someone will have to pin him, you know, to get out of that. And so when you think about that and just how much Brock Lesnar has been protected, you know, over the years, it's hard to believe that they would have him pinned two pay-per-views in a row. And I guess what amounts to 3 weeks, 3 weeks apart ahead of what is, you know, without The Rock, the biggest match that the WWE can put on looming for WrestleMania. So yeah, Robert, I mean, you might be onto something there, my friend.
Well, and they don't have a prime antagonist for him in that match either. Like the way they had him losing all the way up to facing Goldberg at 33 or 34, whichever one that, like that one, that made Sam, him losing to get to the match kind of worked in that scenario because like, I can't beat this guy, what's going on. But I think we all know that Bobby versus Brock is not the end goal at WrestleMania. So, and this, I think this match is actually going to be even closer than what we got recently. I mean, I do love the idea of either Brock is going to be number one in the match and pin everybody instantly and then face off with Bobby, or he's definitely going to be the last person released from the pod after like all the chaos has ensued and get about a minute and a half worth of work.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, hey, that'll be interesting to, and that's kind of the fun of like, you know, looking at the show, whatever, 20 minutes, 30 minutes after, because, you know, this has 3 weeks to marinate as to like how they can handle this Brock thing. But pretty big news. I mean, I'm not high on Saudi Arabia premium live events, I guess. But you know, there's some interesting names in that.
But this is going to be a real one, though, right? Like this is in theory not going to be the typical Saudi house show, right? Like this
in
is...
theory, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a fair point. Fair point. I thought Brock Lesnar tonight did a really, really nice job on the microphone. I thought, you know, he came across like not overly goofy and comedic, and I thought he kind of went past that line the last couple weeks, but was loose and kind of like still enjoying himself out there, but still a badass at the same time. He didn't sound like he was reading the damn script, which I think is always important. So I thought Brock had a really good night out there, Robert.
I did too. And he was, you know, he was kind of feeling it a little bit. You could tell when he was going through it, as you said, not reading the lines, not without the, you know, not without the crutch of a Heyman there. It was actually almost a different cadence of speaking, which is like, it's almost like, oh, that's probably how Brock actually talks, you know, when he's, you know, not in full on Brock Lesnar mode. And he didn't look like he got lost at it. I've said this for years. We forget Brock could, he's never going to be The Rock or anything like that, but Brock could cut promos in his initial run. They weren't always good. Every now and then we got the Give Me Goldberg promo, but that was, I think, something more he was scripted to say. Brock is capable in these situations, and we've seen with this, you know, the Heyman descent storyline, him do it more and more. This was the best version. I liked the touch of him even being in the ring gear. I felt even that probably added to the whole idea of it. It's just, you know, this beast in this, you know, ring gear, and it they got that Cincinnati crowd to bite on them having that match. Like that Cincinnati crowd was definitely into that moment.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. And you know, it wasn't all, you know, MVP and Lashley either. I mean, I think a lot of that investment was on Brock's shoulders, he is kind of a forgotten promo, but it's because he had a good 6 year period there where he didn't say anything because of Paul Heyman, and you know, that's, no one's ever going to complain about that. But yeah, the guy could talk, and I thought tonight he really had a good night, kind of framing up what he's going to do in the lead up to WrestleMania. Kyle, thanks, man. Anything else for us before we move on to another call?
Yeah, so my last thing I'll leave you with is about Rhea Ripley. I am already done with her and Nikki Cross. It's really annoying. It's like, can we just move on from that? And with Alexa Bliss, too, I need her to get back in the ring. I don't know when she's going to come back to Raw. I thought it was going to be at the Rumble, but since the whole therapy thing happened like weeks ago, and so it was kind of very too late. So I was ready for Rhea to move on from Nikki Cross and Alexa to come back to Raw to do something incredible and go back to wrestling and not do magic tricks. So I'll leave you with that. Thanks for a call. Bye.
Thanks for making a call. Always a blast talking with you. Robert, any thoughts on the Rhea Ripley, Nikki ASH stuff?
Well, you get the impression tonight was the period on the sentence, though. Like, it was definitive. She kind of was, you know, washed her hands of it. I think that, I mean, if WWE still probably be in like a tag match next week or something, but I think that was definitive. And then that's the other full. I mean, part of the problem for what Kyle's even saying in general, and he brings this point up, I think it, a lot, is you still don't you don't have a mid card in the women's division. You're either a jobber or you're, you know, one of the protected class. And I think with Rhea now, they need to establish what is going to be sort of that mid card if they're going to have one. Which you probably need in a, you know, on a 2-night WrestleMania, you don't need the women's matches to just be title matches or the, you know, these gimmick tag matches. You know, can you form an actual mid card? And again, you know, maybe if someone is needing something to do, say like a Sasha Banks, that might not be a bad option. And she's another, you know, one of the many in the women's division that they need to rehab, but you kind of have, it's a good time to do it. You basically have more stars than you possibly will ever have in this, you know, short amount of time in that women's division, with Ronda being back, with Lita in the mix. You know, you do have an inordinate amount of star power in the women's division right now.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And, I mean, when you look at the two rosters for WrestleMania, yeah, Sasha Banks on the SmackDown side definitely stands out as a, you know, top star that without a clear path to something significant in WrestleMania. And on the Raw side, you know, obviously Rhea Ripley is not Sasha Banks in terms of just star power and just being over and really everything. But I thought she got a big reaction at the Royal Rumble. And that was noticeable to me. They're like, all right, there's still something there. And I'm glad they put a bow on the program with Nikki A.S.H. because I just don't think that had any, just never had any momentum really at all. But now Robert, like, she's left with nothing to do, and so you just got to hope that she's a priority for the company and for Vince, because otherwise, like, because there's so much talent, it won't be difficult for her to get lost in the shuffle either at this point without, you know, a clear feud like right in front of her.
No, they need to establish that quickly, get her in a direction, because she's one that they forget about all the time, where it's like they're going all in on her for like a month, and then she completely gets lost. So hopefully they don't lose focus on it. They can't. It's like anything else. If they want to do it, they can do it though. Like it won't be the hardest thing in the world, I think, to heat her up. But even though she's pretty damaged, as you said, there is something there. Like she, you know, you still look at her aesthetically, you know, she is kind of like, is like a Brock Lesnar figure in that, like, nobody looks like that. Nobody has that sort of presence. So it doesn't take as much rehab as it's going to do with someone like Nikki when they're eventually trying to heat her back up for something serious.
And I mean, long-term, when you look at Rhea Ripley, I wonder almost if, you know, if a heel turn would be good for her, because look, if you're going to think long-term here and you're going to go with Bianca Belair at some point, I mean, she's going to need like a really hot heel to work with right after, but presumably she wins at WrestleMania to kind of finish off that story with Becky Lynch. And so, you know, Rhea Ripley can be that person, but it's just going to take some time and focus that she hasn't been getting really since she debuted on Raw.
Well, and focus is the, I think in these 2 years, there hasn't been a lane that they've stuck with her, and that has severely damaged her in a lot of ways. You know, she was the smiling baby face like 3 weeks ago, which doesn't even really fit her, but if that's the direction you're going to go, then go. And then she's been the evil, you know, heel. If they're going to pick a direction, I think that heel works for her. The problem is that she has something that I think that's similar to that Sasha and Becky both have as heels, and something that Charlotte doesn't have. That is that, like, she's still kind of cool in the way she goes about it, so it is kind of hard to keep her to keep hating her long term. But with that said, I mean, if you can try to do it with Becky Lynch for, you know, since SummerSlam, I think you can try with Rhea Ripley with less headwind.
Oh, for sure. Oh, definitely. Gosh, I mean, we could do a 2-hour podcast on Becky Lynch's return. that's not a good thing necessarily. All right, back to the phones. 410. Thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, Zach and Robert. How are you? This is Reverend Keith Bennett in Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, Reverend Keith. We're doing good. Great to talk to you, man. What'd you think of Raw?
I thought it was different. It was unique in its own way. I liked the fact that the majority of the matches had stakes, you know, being that you had three qualifying matches. I was really surprised that Riddle won because I thought they was going to throw a wrench in there and have Otis win just to have somebody different in the Elimination Chamber match. But I can understand Riddle brings more star appeal, and it would be quite interesting should he have an encounter with Brock, knowing their Twitter history. getting back to what – yeah, that, it would be most interesting. Getting back to what you and Robert have stated thus far, I'm in total agreement with Ronda Rousey just appears to be very listless, and she's showing no intensity whatsoever. You know, when she first appeared on the scene in 2017, 2018, as a baby face, she would come out, you know, in a Rowdy Roddy Piper gear, God bless her soul, and she would smile. When she was a baby face, as she was about to turn heel, she came out, she was angry, intense. She shows none of that now, and I believe it's the fact that her whole entire life has changed. She's a mother now. She's only been a mother for, what, 4.5 months? She looks great, but I really don't think that her heart is in it, you know, because it's just showing. She just didn't seem to be the same Ronda. And as you know, Robert, you've followed her career. She specialized in intensity. She was the Mike Tyson of MMA, UFC. So what are your thoughts on perhaps her turning it up a notch in the next couple of months, or will this be the Ronda Rousey that we shall see the remainder of the year?
Well, if this is the Ronda Rousey that we shall see for the remainder of the year, I think it's gonna I think it's gonna fall flat because I don't think she's and it's not necessarily her fault, but she's very inexperienced. So I don't think she can carry things being in there halfway. Like it's noticeable if she's gonna do that. Also though, following, you know, the majority of her career, if you go all the way back to the Olympics, she's not someone that sticks with things for a long time. She generally does stuff, puts everything into it, comes up a little bit short, and then goes on to the next thing. This honestly kind of feels like the first time she's ever tried to redo something. And I know she had a second fight after losing her first one, but I don't think she felt she was done at that point. I don't know that she even looked at like her WWE career as any form of failure, which it really wasn't. You know, it really all went off well. So I think she's going to have to find that or to communicate that passion. It doesn't mean she doesn't have it, but it's clearly not being communicated right now. And she may be produced to be like this as well. I don't know what it is, but that is what her charisma is that passion. That's exactly what people have gravitated towards her or had angst towards her because she has that. And without that, then she is just kind of a fairly green pro wrestler, and we don't need that at the main event scene.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, look, I know WWE here is thinking, hey, star versus star, like, and that's good enough. But for somebody that's as inexperienced as you said, Robert, that she is in pro wrestling, like, it helps to have like the clear roles defined for somebody that doesn't know how to, you know, read a live crowd or, you know, interact with a crowd that's not giving her what she wants or turn a crowd that's not giving her what she wants. She just doesn't have those chops yet. And how could she? She's only done it for, you know, a run for 1 year. So I think it would help her to have clearly defined lanes. I mean, when you think back to what made her successful on that first run, she, for the most part, she was always clearly defined. The first, I don't know, 70% of it, she was working opposite clear heels, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax.
She was Hogan. I said it at the time. She was like a Hogan. Like, she was that. She was just like the good Gosh O'Miley baby face, and she would beat them all. Like, no, she was like – she was a cookie-cutter baby face with her little flair to it.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, Stephanie was out there, like, selling for her. Like, so it worked. And then when she turned heel, she had, you know, Becky Lynch to work with, like the most overstar in the company at that time. And so she was able to really, I think, naturally find her place in that first run because of those defined lines. And so, it is kind of muddy right now. And so if I'm WWE, if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, we're either going to make Ronda a heel here and she can stay on this path, you know, or no, we're really going to have to change it up with how, what we're asking her to do and how we're producing her, because yeah, it's coming off just way, way too flat. It works as a heel, but not as a babyface. Period. And I know we're only 2 days in, so I don't want to get, you know, too overdramatic about it, but you know, it just, I don't think she had, her first two nights were not home runs. Keith, back to you.
Totally agree. Now, shifting back to the Men's Elimination Chamber WWE title match, I strongly feel that Lashley will retain the belt. I have a feeling they're going to work an angle in there somehow where he retains either by nefarious means, let's say the Usos somehow get involved, or maybe Roman again. But I just don't see them unifying the titles unless they plan on going back to the one brand without the brand split. That's the only way, because to me, it doesn't make sense unless you're just going to unify both SmackDown and Raw. And I can also see Lashley retaining, secondly, because you need a title match on both shows. You have two nights, and I think that his challenger will probably either be Seth or maybe a heel Drew McIntyre, because if you notice, they are starting to shift brands. Right now, Big E has been moved to SmackDown, and Drew apparently is still on SmackDown as of right now. He could be shuffled over to Raw to challenge Big E. To challenge Lashley or Seth. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Seth in a title match against Lashley, and then Kevin Owens, out of jealousy, interferes and costs Seth the match, because they kind of planted that seed tonight by having KO scripted to say, oh, well, you were just automatically placed in the Elimination Chamber match while I have to wrestle Austin Theory to qualify. We all knew that Austin Theory was going to beat KO because he's Vince's boy. So I think that planted the seeds for a future title opportunity for Seth. KO interferes, maybe an inadvertent miscue to make it seem like he was helping Seth. And then down the road, you eventually have your Seth versus KO feud. But in order to get there, I think KO has to turn on Seth by way of costing him a major match. What more match of prominence could there be other than a WWE title match? What are your thoughts on that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I was more in your camp, Keith, I think, when we started the show. But as we talk it through, and Robert made some, you know, very convincing arguments, I just don't know how you pin Brock Lesnar. That's the thing that I can't get past right now. And so kind of like everything in your scenario is predicated on Bobby Lashley walking out as the champion. And because of that Lesnar factor, I don't know how they get around that in a match like the Elimination Chamber. So, I mean, could that happen, Keith? I mean, absolutely. I mean, they could go down that route. I mean, Seth is going to need something to do at WrestleMania, obviously. And so, Robert, I mean, I don't dislike that scenario, but as we break things down here, I still don't know how you get Brock out of that without winning. So that's why I'm not going so far as to say that that's what I think will happen. It's just, that's a tough nut to crack.
But there could be a disqualification in the Elimination Chamber.
Can there?
And there's been one in Hell in a Cell before.
Well, yeah.
Like,
yes, there
Brock tore the cell up one time, and then the Fiend just got hammered. So
that yeah,
could
but
have...
like, no, we don't want to remember that, guys. So,
yeah, they're not going to do that to Saudi Arabia. I mean, come on, they care about those
right,
fans.
Right.
They're not going to do that. I do think, though, the bigger point, too, to what Keith is saying is if they're not going the unification belt, they really need to go all in on Bobby for about a month and a half here. Because if you lay out the four big title matches, Bobby kind of got like an intercontinental vibe going to him compared to those other three. Even, you know, last night, he kind of – you almost forgot – or Saturday, you almost forgot that he won the title. It kind of, you know, it was like the on a show that wasn't that newsworthy, I thought, you know, hit a title change was like fifth on the list of big things that happened. So if they're going to do it, they need to sort of to kind of super push him a little bit, I think. I think they need to kind of put a bit of an accelerant to that. That way you have four title matches that are kind of, you know, four pillars of that. You don't want that one because that's still the WWE title. It's still the title on Raw, you know, the flagship show, whatever that means now. But I think they need to have take some sort of focus or some sort of care with it. Even if the title is removed, I still think they need to have Bobby in a main event-ish position going into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. I mean, and that, you know, I mean, he's one of the biggest stars on the show. Like, when Brock's not there, like, I mean, on the men's division side of things, I mean, I think he's, at this point, at least in my eyes, guys, he's above, you know, the Seths of the world just because of his presentation. I mean, it's so main event level. I mean, at least that's where I'm at it with it, Robert. I mean, I mean, it's Lashley.
He's more of a main guy, like, than... Like it doesn't feel like he can flop as much as like KO and Seth can.
Right.
Like
right.
They won't allow that. Yeah. Which is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really good thing. And so, yeah, I mean, you want to make sure that he has something to do at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, look, being in the mix with Brock Lesnar is not, you know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's telling. It means that you mean a lot to the company and to the show. So that's, I mean, all that's really good for Bobby Lashley. And that's in the end, like that's what matters. And he got some really good FaceTime with WWE's biggest star tonight. So that's, I mean, that's important. Keith, back to you. Anything else for us tonight, man, before we grab a couple more callers here?
No, but just keep in mind that there can be a disqualification in the elimination chamber. So I think that they will work an angle where Brock will not be pinned because I can't see Brock being pinned again on a major pay-per-view. So we'll just be on the lookout for that because I could see Bobby retaining and defending against Seth Rollins in one of the two title matches. Also, I like the way that they're going with Damian Priest. I think at some point they're going to have to go all in with his heel turn. I take it they will continue the feud between he and Kevin Owens down the road before Kevin turns on Seth. So give me your thoughts on that and trajectory of Damian Priest. And thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. As always, go VIP. Have a good night.
Thank you, Reverend Keith. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. Yeah, Robert, I'm curious to get your take on Damian Priest because I've been sour on this new kind of, you know, rage, not rage character. And not because I don't buy it necessarily, but it just seems to me that the psychology of the character is not aligned properly right now, where it's like, I think if you're a, I mean, he's in the babyface role right now. So that's kind of where I'm analyzing this. Like I'm from that point of view, but if you're babyface Damian Priest, like I think the pop and like the audience investment and the engagement is like seeing that rage side come out and having him win matches. But instead, you're kind of getting this guy who's just trying to control this more aggressive side, and the aggressive side comes out and he loses. And I think the whole thing just feels backwards to me. As a heel, it probably lines up a little bit better, but I don't know. It's to me, it's hurting kind of his position on the show. I think, you know, even, you know, 3-4 months ago, like you looked at that guy as like, okay, you know, there's something potentially there from a booking perspective. They're protecting him. But now the waters are very muddy. What say you?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I was like kind of shocked how little of a role he played in the Royal Rumble because he's been my dark horse pick for like 9 months. I didn't think going up there he would win. Like he wasn't hot enough as a Rumble winner, but like I didn't think that was completely ridiculous though. Like, you know, he was, he had some momentum, and I think it's a little bit of what you're saying. It's a bit of overthinking it with him,
you know,
having something and not doing too much with it, which is what I'm doing with my words at this moment. Just, you know, overthinking what I'm trying to say. I think with Priest, luckily for him is with the last little bit aside, I don't think they've done so much damage with him. So I think they can rehab him a little bit, but they got it. It's just like we were saying with Rhea. It's almost like a mirror image, but they got to keep focused with him because when they were focused with him, it was working. And, you know, he doesn't fit a lot of the profile of a lot of the guys that the crowd gets into. But it was working for Priest. So I think they have to establish some kind of focus. He's another guy that I'm looking at going into WrestleMania season, just to kind of see where he's actually slotted. Like, is he, you know, is he a battle royal guy, or is he, you know, is he going to be in a real match? It's funny because there's two nights of WrestleMania, and so we don't know what that means from a time perspective. I mean, we have two, you know, last year they actually kept it fairly tight and had two, you know, regular sized pay-per-views back-to-back nights. Are we going to get two, you know, actual WrestleMania sized pay-per-views? Is there going to be plenty of slots for these guys? It kind of feels like, just because so many of the main matches all of a sudden in the course of, you know, 48 hours seem so spoken for, but there's not a lot of space on this card. So, you know, they're going to have to do some maneuvering around the margins.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm high on Damian Priest. I think he's got, I don't know, when I look at him, I'm like, you know, I kind of just, you feel like there's a guy there that has some charisma. You know, I think he still needs to get to another level in the ring. I'm not sure he ever will at this point in time, but there's still something there. And so I don't think it's beyond repair, but I just think you want to iron out that gimmick. I mean, I don't know that fans want to watch, you know, a babyface try to suppress this side, and when it comes out, he loses matches, but you don't ever get to see the story of him like trying to control this rageful madness. And so I don't know, to me, it just doesn't, it's not adding up, you know, but for WrestleMania, like if they were to say, hey, Robert, you know, it's going to be Damian Priest versus Austin Theory at WrestleMania for the United States Championship. I mean, is that like a decent level for him at this point?
I think he's the placeholder in that match, if that's what was doing, because I think the momentum is heading Theory's way. That's what I thought of immediately when I sensed the question coming. I thought, well, I think Theory's kind of like at the level that he's at now. And I think they can make it work. I don't know. You know, that's not bad. Now that I'm kind of thinking it more, because, you know, Priest, he's got that sort of that cool charisma. And I don't mean this as insult, but like the annoying charisma of Austin Theory, like that's, you know, that's what his gimmick is, that's what his character is. I think they might have a bit of a good working relationship opposite each other. The only thing is, I could see it being almost overpowered by the Theory side of things. So that's why I think, again, you have to sort of flesh out this character, and that would be a very weird contrast of, you know, the guy that takes selfies and hangs out with Vince against the guy who's trying to, you know, just talk out his anger management issues. That might be a bit of a tough sell.
Fair point. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go back to the phones. 814, you've been waiting a long time. 814, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling us from tonight.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan, great to talk to you, man. What's on your mind regarding Raw tonight?
As far as Raw, with Austin Theory getting that big win tonight against Kevin Owens, you think his fate at WrestleMania is going to be beating Shane McMahon and then getting Stone Cold centered by Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Well, look, I can't rule that out at this point. I mean, I really can't, you know, given all the news of the day that Shane's going to be booked in a match at WrestleMania reportedly. And obviously Theory with Vince McMahon, I think that makes sense. There's connectivity there. So yeah, I can see that happening, Robert. I mean, I thought the match tonight was pretty darn good between Owens and Theory. And I thought, you know, a lot of it was on Owens' shoulders, I think, but Theory was there for it, hit his spots. I thought they had a really nice match together, and Theory looked good. So, I mean, yeah, Robert, what do you think? Is it going to be Theory versus Shane McMahon?
That's not bad. I mean, we just booked him against Damian Priest, but I don't think that's bad. And it'd be funny that they kind of play out the Triple H angle that they never got to play out. Like, who is my real favorite son? And they're gonna do it with like this 23-year-old guy. I think that's pretty awesome. No, that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibilities at all. Austin Theory's spot at WrestleMania is gonna be interesting, because sometimes it's like they're doing a lot with a guy, and then WrestleMania time comes and they're slotted much lower than they were for the year. I mean, this was the Braun Strowman thing, I think, for like 4 years in a row, where it's like, you know, they push them really hard all year, and then they kind of do nothing at the big show. So I'm curious to see where that lands. I like that suggestion, though. That's a good one, right? I'm gonna keep that in my mind now that's been put into the bloodstream.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, say what you want about Austin Theory, but you know, in what WWE is and what Raw is, like, he works for the show a lot like Riddle does, you know? I mean, and I think there's a lot wrong with what Riddle does, and I think you can frame him as a bigger star if you tweak certain things, but for what WWE presents, he works. He can be – he's a jack of all trades. He can cut a promo. He can do a backstage scooter race. Like, he can do anything, and I think, you know, for better or worse, that's valuable to Vince McMahon right now, and I think Austin Theory, you know, he checks – almost all those boxes. And so I don't, it's weird because I think that is Theory going to be, you know, a top heel, like with a Brock Lesnar type aura? No, obviously that's not him, but you know, it's kind of fun to watch him kind of come in at the bottom and work his way up, knowing that he does check a lot of those boxes and can be a player on the main roster, Robert. So, I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised with what he's shown so far on Raw.
Yeah, he's kind of on the mid trajectory, if you want to say, I guess, where his career can end up. I think that's probably without all the baggage and backstory that comes with Miz, obviously, because his is a little bit different. Yeah, it's weird. I'm mostly of the same mind, whereas, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I saw stuff a little bit in Evolve or whatever, but, like, I don't know what more he could actually be. So if you're going to have that role on the show, I think that's like a distinction between him and Riddle. Because Riddle could do like five other things that I think he'd be really good at, other than this. This isn't even horrible for Riddle. They just need to, you know, dial it back quite a bit, you know, with the scooter mm-hmm. races and that kind of thing. With Theory, I don't even know if you necessarily need to dial it back. It might be something in the context of the whole show that you need to be dialed back, you know, the stuff in general. But I think as far as somebody to do it, I think Theory fits it really, really well, because you've seen in the past when they put other people in those sort of positions and it doesn't go as well. So I think Theory, that can be Theory's role. Now, there's something limiting and something that, you know, gives you a ton of longevity when you're in that specific role. Like, you know, there's a certain level of seriousness that you can't ever have, but it kind of feels like you can have a job for about 20 years if that's the role you're going to fill.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yep. R-Truth is another example, I think, of that.
Yes, well, and I mean, look, you said it. Like, look, there's worse career trajectories to be on than Miz's, you know? So that's, you know, I think you can look at that as a negative, but you can certainly make the argument that that's a really, you know, high upside for Austin Theory at the same time.
Yeah, that's not an insult. That's, you know, better right. than, you know, 90% of people that have ever done wrestling is basically what, you know, the Miz has done. So
yeah, exactly.
Don't send me your email that said he's had a better career and say he's better than 90% of wrestlers, people.
Yes, that would be a good time to plug your Twitter account just to make sure that people can, you know.
Nope.
Back at you. Oh my gosh. All right, Ryan, back to you, man.
Another question I have is, but the way they're getting with tag teams is a big part of WrestleMania this year going to be about tag teams breaking off and fighting each other, like Rey Mysterio and Dominic, because Rey sort of cost Dominic that match tonight with The Miz, and Randy and Riddle seem like they might break up if they can't get those titles back from the Alpha Academy.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic to go down, and I think it's a good road to talk, you know, a little bit about Riddle and Randy Orton in particular, because I think all indications were when this kind of partnership started up, RK-Bro started, that, hey, yeah, they're obviously building to a split at some point, and look, they're just going to tell the story here. But, I mean, that act is hot right now. I mean, they get some of the biggest pops on the show. Both those guys got big pops in the Royal Rumble match. I know that the merch does well. They're over. And so I just don't know that you want to, even though the plan was obviously to have them feud against each other at some point, Robert, to me, like, it's working right now. And I think it's working for Riddle in particular, because yes, he's the silly, you know, goofy guy, but he's got somebody to play off of, and it's not just goofiness without context. And I think that has made him more likable, even that, you know, he can come across as annoying at sometimes, but I think him working with Randy has kind of, you know, painted him a little bit more of a competitive Riddle, even with some of the silliness. So I think it's important for Riddle to have Orton around. You can play this card at any time, Robert, but I don't think, at least for me, judging by the crowd reactions and just my personal taste of the story, that I think this thing still has some legs left to it if you want it to.
Right. I think this is more in the vein of how they went with Team Hendo around like the WrestleMania 29 time. It's like, no, there's going to be an attack match, you know, because this is still kind of running. Or, you know, what they did with the New Day for years and years, and still to say, like, they're just never going to break them up because everything you said, people are into them. They do merch well, all that stuff. I don't think, you know, the other comparison, the other contemporary comparison would be like the Jericho Kevin Owens, which that mm-hmm. seemed to be almost the mirror of what they were doing with this. But those were two guys who were more compatible than the polar opposite. So yeah, I thought that's where they're leading. I haven't thought that at all. Like today, even whenever they give the impression that this is going to be a qualifying edition of Raw. You know, you just knew it's going to be Randy or Riddle or Randy and Riddle. And the fact that it's only one of them in there, I think, is telling that we're just not there yet. But like you said, like they can do that at any time. It's just not quite, I think, where they're headed right at this exact moment.
What do you make of Riddle being in the Elimination Chamber match? I mean, do you look at that and go, okay, that's a significant elevation for him to be in that spot? I mean, Bobby Lashley's in that match. Brock Lesnar's in that match. It's in Saudi Arabia. I mean, like, or is it just, hey, we need people to fill this and Riddle can bump. So there you go.
I don't think it's an elevation, but I don't say that with any, you know, to say that it's not a good thing. I think that's about, you know, when you're like the fifth guy in the Royal Rumble, that's kind of the level that Riddle has been at. So I don't necessarily look at that as like, you know, hey, he's getting a title shot on the pay-per-view. Well, you got to put it into the proper context. I think that's about where he's at. And I do honestly believe, unless they were going to go with the split, they probably wanted just one representative from that team because it is such a big part of the show. And who knows, maybe they got, you know, Randy Orton facing the Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio or something. Who knows what they do on the Saudi shows.
Ryan, hopefully we answered your question there, man. I mean, I think you can – there's certainly plenty of time to tell that story for WrestleMania, but with that tag team in particular, you don't want to break up a good thing and you want to walk that fine line because you don't want it to get stale. But I think it's still doing a lot of good for both guys at this point. Ryan, back to you. Any other questions for us tonight?
My final question's on the Nikki A.S.H. character. You see her getting a match with Mighty Molly because they showed that replay of her eliminating Mighty Molly. So I don't know if that's something they'll revisit down the road or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Robert, what do you think?
I want to say no, just because I don't know that they would invest that much in a singles match with Mighty Molly and Nikki A's. Like, I don't know if it would necessarily, like, they would be thinking that would be necessarily worth it. Obviously, I think the feud could keep going. It could be one of those things, like, every time you know, Molly comes back fairly regularly. So I think it could be a thing every time she's back, her and Nikki are sort of, you know, butting heads. I don't necessarily know it's building to a match. With that said, I say, you know, a featured match, it's Molly Holly. It doesn't have to be a featured. You could do that on an episode of Raw, and it'd be a fun little deal. I don't necessarily see it in the cards. I just see it as a kind of forever feud because they both have the superhero gimmicks.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. Like, I think it was the moment for it was like a Royal Rumble match to me. Like that's kind of when you do something like that. So, I mean, I don't know what you thought about that Rumble match, Robert, but it was, you know, a relatively standout moment in that match. Cause it just, mm-hmm. that match lacked a lot of activity to begin with. But
Rick and I riffed on that for a few minutes of like that being the highlight. One of the highlights of the evening was the Molly Holly. We thought that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what you're going for, but I think it was. And so I think it served a purpose
high.
In that match. Yeah. 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 Ryan, I don't know, man. I don't know if a match is in the cards. I kind of think it's either like, yeah, you played it out at the Royal Rumble. That's it. Or maybe it comes up back next year or, you know, some other way or Battle Royal or like on like a, you know, a Legends Night or something like that where they turn back the clock. Maybe you do something like that on a Raw or SmackDown. But I don't I really don't see them doing like a feud of any kind. Back to you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for taking the call. I just really meant like a one-off match pretty much. like they did with Kamala a long time ago with Randy Orton, I believe, and Marty Jannetty one time with Kurt Angle.
Yeah. No, I mean, they, like I said, I think it could play as something like a, you know, Raw reunion or, you know, something like that. But I don't know. I think it was at the Royal Rumble, and if I was a betting man on it, my bet would be that it, yeah, just stays there.
Thanks
for calling, Ryan.
Appreciate
it, man. Yeah, always good to talk to you. Thanks for making it. Let's go to 619. 619 has been holding for quite some time. 619, sorry for the wait. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, no worries. My name is William from San Diego. How are you guys doing?
Good, William. Appreciate you holding for us. What'd you think of Raw?
Yeah, absolutely. Always happy to help to call. Sorry. So no worries about the wait. I actually was looking forward to this Raw more than usual, and I know a lot of people were down on Rumble on Saturday, but, you know, for me, the Rumble is kind of the thing they always say about pizza, that even when it's bad, it's good. So even though it was, yeah, objectively, a lot of it was bad, they set up a lot of things that just had me intrigued and interested in looking forward to Raw. So tonight I was actually looking at my phone a lot less than I usually do, and it also helped that they had some pretty good matches. That last match, AJ versus Rey Mysterio, was pretty good, and I'm actually pretty happy with the participants they picked for the Elimination Chamber. I don't know what you guys think about the people they have there.
I like it too. I think it's a good mix. I think it's a really good mix, actually. You know, it's got some young talent in there. It's got some established guys. Brock Lesnar, you know, gives legitimacy to any match that he's in, and a level of star power that not many other people in WWE can give a match. So, I think they did a nice job with this. I hope that in the next 2 weeks, you know, we get to hear from some of these guys, like what this means. And I think, you know, sometimes you hear it in broad strokes, like, hey, now's your last chance to go to WrestleMania. Like, and that's fine. But, you know, I think hearing from Riddle is important, you know, even if it's in a goofy way, or like, can Randy Orton coach him up or something like that? Show some, you know, investment. Same thing with Austin Theory. Same thing with, you know, with AJ Styles, you know, and so on down the line. I think you have a big enough, you know, talent pool in that match where you could really make it feel big time and feel really, really important, Robert, if you want to, and if you take the time to do it. And with two weeks left, I think they can go that route, and I hope they do.
Yeah, and I think tonight was a big step in that direction, because as you're saying, and as we mentioned a few times on the show, like those matches, even if they had interference, they mattered, and the results mattered, and there seemed to be a vibe to all of them. And I'm in agreement too. I really liked that AJ and Ray match, just as a, you know, a basic TV match between two guys. You know, maybe you'd like to see a version of it, you know, 10 years ago or whatnot. But I was highly entertained by it. And I think, I hope that sets a good tone. Again, guys, I think it's always the case when they're going to Saudi Arabia, they care a little bit more, so they put in a little bit more effort into these things. It's the way it is. We've seen this play out for like 4 years now. I kind of hope they do that. I'm a little skeptical, because they like kind of had a Rumble without building a Rumble this year, which was definitely a choice that was really built around the title matches going in. So I hope they do take that. I said earlier, you know, being the fifth guy in the Rumble is not exactly like, you know, yeah, you're really getting a title shot, but they can treat it otherwise. They have the ability to do that, especially the stakes of, oh, hey, I'm going to main event WrestleMania by winning this match. I think the problem that you run into sometimes with these matches, and we'll see if they add another chamber, is like, you're still, unless they are doing the title unification thing, you still have one more person to anoint of in all of this. So, you know, that sometimes takes the stakes away from these matches, when you know there's still going to be yet another chance. You'd be like that year when Cena had like 50 chances to get into WrestleMania and he kept losing.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, Robert, are you surprised that they went this route, you know, with the chamber? I mean, if you dig into that a little bit, I think that also, you know, helps corroborate your point on Brock Lesnar winning, you know, because you could easily have done this match with, and to get a number one contender to the WWE Championship, but instead, you know, it's for the title. I mean, were you surprised that they went down that road?
I am. I thought they would figure something else out than doing this because of the conundrum, like we said, that it creates. You have to pin Brock Lesnar, or you're setting up, like a unification belt. I'm like, hey, is that actual good booking that you need to see a wrestling show to see how it plays out? Like, that's not something we generally have when things are generally so predictable and so formulaic. But sometimes things are predictable and formulaic for a reason, because you do get yourselves into these situations. This is, though, maybe it's the Brock Lesnar of it all, but this does feel like a slightly more high-stakes elimination chamber than normal, just because of what the implications could be based on the result.
Yeah, you look at that, and I just go, that's what stars do for your product. Like, mm-hmm. it's a big match because Brock's in it, and how do you, mm-hmm. How do you handle him? And I think, gosh, it's just so, sometimes when you look at what WWE does, it's so obvious that still plays, big stars still play. And yet you just don't see them actively working to make, enough of them from their current crop of top tier talent. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, we saw this weekend, like, as much as people love the Rumble, the Rumble is not necessarily the thing that's over, because whenever you have a match with not that many stars, and it can kind of just feel like any other match. And I think that was on display. If they do elimination chamber was a big deal, like the first three times they do it, but now, they do it once a year in three matches on the same show. So you need, as you said, the star power to actually make it interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. William, back to you.
Yeah. Agree with a lot of points, especially what you brought up about what we saw in the Rumble. It kind of brought a spotlight and a lot of the faults we've seen in WWE's booking in the last year. How, despite they've obviously fired a lot of people, and they've tried quote unquote to trade just as many stars as they fired, and it just hasn't worked. And we saw like their reaction or lack of reactions that a lot of those people got coming out, and it was kind of sad. But I wanted to focus in a little more on one of the participants from that Elimination Chamber, Seth Rollins. He's been in kind of a journey, I guess. He had that feud with Roman, and it was kind of ambiguous. Is he a face? Is he a heel? He had that 1 week at SmackDown where he was kind of working face against the Usos with Kevin Owens, and he was playing into the crowd during the match. People were singing his theme song, and he was, he wasn't like rejecting the crowd or anything. He was playing into it. But then the following week, he came back and go home show last week, I think, where he came back and he was back to like his old Joker knockoff, kind of annoying laughter guy. And he was like, rubbing it in Roman's face that he broke up the Shield, and he was back to being kind of a heel. But then at the Rumble, and it's kind of been like a roller coaster with him, at the Rumble, he, I think he got a lot of sympathies from how the match ended, with him basically, getting screwed because Roman didn't break the hold, and then getting basically murdered with the chairs after it. And tonight he still seems to be playing that kind of face persona, even though that Roman feud seems to be over, at least for the moment. So do you guys think they finally picked a lane with Rollins? Is this where we're heading? Is he like a face from now on? And I think Keith brought it up earlier, that line from Kevin Owens, where he was like, hey, you just automatically got added into the Elimination Chamber, but I have to fight for it. Are we heading for a Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins feud at Mania?
Man, I think we might be. I mean, that line is telling. Maybe they'll, you could do that. I mean, I think they had a WrestleMania match, at the that pandemic WrestleMania 36, with no fans. So, it's a kind of a quick turnaround to do, a mid-card match like that again. I think Rollins is kind of a mess right now, Robert. Like, and I pointed this out on Twitter. He's just in such a strange spot because he has been all over the place. I mean, William just then, you know, in whatever that was, 2 minutes, like talked about like three or four different pivots to the kind of the tone and constitution of his character. He's got a look that is obviously obnoxious. The laugh is obviously obnoxious, but the moveset in the ring, something you really want to get behind. There's a sympathy factor there that you saw, you know, on the line against Roman Reigns. And so, you know, he's booked against heels. He's booked against baby faces. I just think him not being defined and really not knowing really what Seth freaking Rollins is still to this point is hurting him because he is absolutely all over the place. And, you know, I think he's still, the perception of him is still that he's a top act. Obviously he's a good worker, but from a character perspective, he's absolutely all over the place. And, you know, I just don't know how that plays opposite really any potential opponent moving forward.
Yeah, I just don't think you can – this character can't be babyface. Like this, you know, the Joker, you know, mutated from the Messiah character, that doesn't work as a babyface. Like I don't know how you would pull this. You'd have to have almost a character overhaul to do that. With that said, I think they're going with they're going with KO and Rollins. And in that scenario, because of also the back and forth that we've seen with Owens, you would have to assume he would be the heel. So that makes the whole proposition very, very difficult. And as you mentioned, yeah, he has completely gone in and out. You know, on SmackDown last week, he was like almost like 2015. You know, I made the Shield and I destroyed the Shield kind of character. Yeah. He was that guy. But then you know he's back to the. To bits and pieces of the Joker tonight. I'm conflicted about it because it's confusing. And then he's feuding with a lot of ambiguous people as well, which makes it difficult because that's how, you know, the way the Roman feud is. And I think there's even some shades in the Kevin character that are still a little bit on both sides, although not completely. I think they got to flesh it out, and this has been a Rollins problem for, I mean, yeah. 5 years now, where they can't seem to pick. Like I still don't know why Kevin Owens was the second ever Universal Champion and Seth Rollins wasn't. We still don't have an explanation for that. Yeah. Like that's still hanging out there. That one still bothers me every time I see these two interact because they've never solved that. And maybe. I don't know, maybe they could bring that into it. I don't know. They kind of brought that in a little bit, if I remember, in the pandemic times. But I don't know which direction they go. I don't get the feeling, though, that there's this craving from the people to see him as this conquering babyface. Like, the other times he's turned babyface, it's been because you just kind of couldn't deny him anymore. And I don't think with this character hasn't lent itself to that. So there's a lot going against it to firmly establish. With that said, it's kind of been the theme of the show. That they need to pick a lane with a lot of these people going into WrestleMania season.
Yeah, well said. William, back to you. Any other comments tonight?
Quickly on still on the Rollins thing. I do think that they are kind of pivoting away from that Joker persona. They've been, like, really hammering in that Seth freaking Rollins nickname, and that's kind of a callback to, like, when he was at the height of his babyface run. You know, when he was the IC title, I think that's when he was calling himself Seth freaking Rollins. And that was like when he, like, it felt like it was clicking at that moment. And I think they're trying to maybe pivot a little more into that. I just wish there was more of a, like, an actual turn, like an actual, I hope that we get like an actual motivation for why all of a sudden, you know, he's no longer. The Messiah or whatever his character was supposed to be for the last few months. Maybe there's not like a clamoring from people to finally cheer him. But I do think that, you know, they most people were probably weren't feeling the heel run. And I think they're giving like a motivation or like a chance to cheer him, I think they will. I was actually I flew to St. Louis for the Rumble, and I was there at the building, and I kind of got the sense that, you know, people were getting behind him and, you know, from home tonight. It's always hard to tell exactly what's going on because they swing the sound so much. But I also got that sense tonight that, you know, he was giving the people permission to cheer him, and he wasn't being too antagonistic, and people were kind of getting behind him. So I think there is some hope yet for Seth Rollins as a babyface. I don't know if you guys want to add anything else to that. I did have another topic, so
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I think it's something to watch for sure. But yeah, go ahead with your final topic.
Okay, so yeah, wanted to go back to the Ronda thing. Just have a lot of thoughts on that, so I'll try to keep it coherent and stop myself from rambling. But yeah, I think we all know the rumor right now that it's going to be supposedly Ronda versus Charlotte at WrestleMania, and you know I'm kind of with Kyle in that I'm a big fan of Becky, but at this moment I just don't want to see Becky versus Ronda. It doesn't feel like it could be the biggest version of that match that it could be, and a lot of it has to do with Becky coming back as a heel and kind of squandering that babyface momentum that she had. For my money, I would rather they do Charlotte and Ronda for now, and maybe, you know, build back to that Becky and Ronda chemistry they had before.
I think we may have lost you there, Williams. I'm going to throw you on mute there real quick. But, yeah, I mean, Robert, what do you think? I mean, are you – I think we probably flushed this out quite a bit, but to me, that makes sense. I mean, I think it's really – if Becky as a heel is a priority, like for better or worse, if that's the way you're going to go, sticking her in the ring against Ronda Rousey is I just don't think is going to net you that reaction. I just don't know in what world that gets you that heel reaction at this point. You know, even if Ronda was out there on her A game, you know, and just great. And like she was when she left, I still don't think you'd be able to get Becky Lynch booed over Ronda Rousey at this point. So if that's the priority, putting her in there is a real tough ask for both those women.
No, you need a solid face. If that is the master that you're serving there, that Becky needs to be a heel and be a heel going forward, you do need a face. So in that situation, I think the Bianca pick is the way to go.
Yeah, for sure. William, something is wrong with your line here on the switchboard. So good topic. Thanks very much for the call as always. And make sure to call again. Great to hear from you as usual. All right, Robert, we'll go ahead and we will wrap up the caller portion of the show right there. We will be back in just a couple seconds with the mailbag.